हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्त तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवत्वर्यमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
Now we are in Brahmanandavalli and we are seeing the Panchakosha Viveka topic, which is a methodology to arrive at what the reality is. And we have seen the first two koshas, first two layers of personality, annamayaha, then pranamayaha, and Upanishad presents the each layer of personality as the atma first, thereafter analyzing the each layer of personality, and it makes us see the each layer of personality being the koshaha anatma, not the atma. How it shows that each layer of personality is the anatma, not the atma? Because we understood annamayaha or pranamayaha, the maya itself stands for the anna, the annamaya, the deha being the layer of the first layer of personality, the gross physical body being the product. Annamayaha is the product of the annam, the total gross matter. And pranamayaha is also what now? Part of the total prana. Therefore, it's a product. Therefore, annamayaha and pranamayaha, both are products. It's a product means what? Therefore, what we have understood earlier, this is the order you have to remember this. I'm going to repeat these five aspects again and again. Atma has been earlier presented as the absolute cause, uncaused cause, causeless cause, from which alone everything has come into existence. Therefore, Atma is not the karyam. Atma never is the effect. Atma can never become the effect. Atma is not the effect. Atma is ever the what now? Ever the cause only. But now what do we understand is annamayaha is said to be the product of the samashti sthula bhuta prapanchaha, virat, total gross matter. Therefore, what pranamayaha also is what now? The product of the part of the samashti pranaha, the total energy, the macrocosmic total pranic energy. Therefore, being the products, Atma being ever the cause, never the effect. These two being the products, Atma is not the Annamayaha or Pranamayaha. If Atma is not the Annamayaha Pranamayaha, and what this Pranam Annamayaha is? Annamayaha and Pranamayaha, what now? Or Anatma. They come under the anything which is not the Atma is what now? Other than the Atma, everything else is Anatma. Atma is the Karanam, and these two come under what now? We have understood them being products. Therefore, Atma is not the Annamayaha Pranamayaha. If Atma is this, then not the Pranamayaha Annamayaha, means this Annamayaha Pranamayaha, what are they? Anatma. First, what do you understand? Arevat? Anatmatvam of the Annamayaha and Pranamayaha. Each layer of personality is what now? Anatma. How do you understand it is Anatma? Because it is the effect product. So what is Atma? What Atma is only the Karanam. Atma has been said to be the uncaused cause of everything. And this Annamayaha is now said to be the product of the something else. Therefore, Atma is not the Annamayaha and Pranamayaha. But these two are what? Therefore, Anatma. Anything Anatma is definitely Karyam. Now we again have to say that, repeat it now again. Anything which is Anatma is what now? The Karyam. Because Atma is the only cause. Anything which is not the Atma is Anatma. Anatma is what now? The Karyam effect. So anything which is the effect is nothing but name and form. You have to analyze very well. Any product is the added name and form. Nama Rupa. Remember this as points, okay? Nama Rupa. Anything which is Nama Rupa is what now? Mithya. Why Mithya? Any Nama Rupa is Mithya because it has only borrowed existence. It has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, anything mithya has no independent existence, therefore it becomes what now? It is as good as non-existent. These are all the, therefore what do you say now? Annamayaha, what now? Is what now? Is the koshaha, anatma. First, how do you start with? First you say Annamayaha is the atma. Now, after this analysis, what do you arrive at? It is the anatma, it is the koshaha. Like the kosha, not really a kosha, like the cover. Okay? You have to remember this now. Anatmatvam, first, what are you establishing when you analyze each layer of personality? These are the points you have to remember. You establish the, you understand the, you come to know of. When you analyze each layer of personality, what it is, you come, these are the corollaries you derive. What do you arrive at? Anatmatvam. Each layer of personality enjoys the status of being the anatma. Anatmatvam. Then, from the anatmatvam, you also, next again, what now? Again, karyatvam. Being the product. Then from the karyatvam, you understand what now? Nama rupatvam. Every layer of personality has the status of being only just the nama rupa, nama rupatvam. And from this nama rupatvam, what do you arrive at? Mithyatvam. Status of being mithya. Mithya means what now? Being dependently existent. So anything mithya is also what now? Anything which has no independent existence is as good as non-existent. Okay? As good as asat. As good as tucham. Not tucham. Therefore what now? This is what you arrive at. Now when you say that, where do you resolve it? Therefore, every layer of personality, being the product, is of this nature, it is resolvable, it has a resolvability, isn't it? It is resolvable in its karanam. How do you resolve? Just wave can be resolved in the ocean. How you see the cause and the effect are essentially one and the same. Product and the cause and the effect are essentially one and the same. Therefore, the cause alone has substantiality. The effect in Amarupa has no substantiality. You resolve the individual in the total. This is another way of resolving. Okay? At last, you resolve everything in what? In Atma. Now you have to resolve the gross, individual gross body, the total gross matter you have to resolve first. Thereafter, you resolve the total gross matter, which is inclusive of the gross, the body, in what now? In pranamaya. In prana. Samashti prana. First, you resolve the vyashti prana in samashti prana. You resolve the individual prana in total prana. Is it clear now? Thereafter, you resolve the samashti sthula prapancha in prana. Samashti sthula, the entire gross matter, in what now? In energy. Total subtle energy. Resolving means, do you do physically? No. It's only cognitively you resolve it. How do you resolve it? They are not essentially two. Essentially, they are one and the same. It's called resolving. Okay? Both being one and the same essentially is resolving the effect in the cause. Okay? Okay, now we have entered into what now? Pranamaya Atma. As you have to remember, every step when the Upanishad takes us to each layer of personality, it presents the each layer of personality as the Atma first, thereafter helps us to analyze, see what it is, then it converts it into what? Anatma Vikosha. First itself we are not saying it is the Anatma. Okay, so that is how our understanding becomes very firm. Yes, body is not the Atma, is not the body. Atma is definitely not the prana, no doubt. That has become very clear. Okay, that firm understanding has to come. Only then you say what now? Definitely Atma is not the prana. Why Atma is not this physiological functions? You have to give this reasons. Vyashti pranaha is the product of the part of the samashti pranaha. Therefore, it is only karyam. Because it is karyam, it is only namarupa. Only name and form. Name and form means there is no substantiality. No name and form has substantiality of its own. Therefore, it is what? No, mithya. Mithya means what? No substantiality of its own. Therefore, it has no independent existence. Therefore, it is what? No, it's as good as non-existent. This is how you understand. Is it clear? Thereafter, we have come to now manomaya atma. Now, manomayaha, now you see here, gross, the annamayaha is the grossest body. Now, from there, we entered into what? The next layer of personality, which occupies, which indwells, which fills this physical body, which is subtler. Shaktihi, energy is what? Subtle. You can understand the energy being there, but you cannot see the energy through physical eyes. Any function needs energy, isn't it? Therefore, each function is what now? Expression of the energy only. That is why we Shakti, we are understanding here. There is power of seeing, power of hearing, power of smelling, power of tasting, the shakti because of which each organ is capable of functioning as that organ. It's a shakti. That power because of which the mind is capable of functioning, isn't it? That shakti alone now we analyzed here. So prana shakti, energy, is what now? Doesn't exist, there's no such thing called individual shakti existing separately. It is part of the total shakti only. Therefore, what happened now? You have resolved it also that. Similarly, now we have come to what now? Much subtler. Much subtler. What is much subtler now? Subtler the object, more pervasive it is. Isn't it? So now we are entering into the mind, manomaya atma, manaha, which is what now? Subtler than the prana also. Mind pervades the energy. What is mind? We have to understand manaha and buddhi. Two things. The sukshma shariram, if you remember, consists of 16 aspects which we studied in Tattvabodha class. And we'll be studying again in Atmabodha class also. You have to remember manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, all these varieties of thoughts constitute the antahkaranam. And some pranaha, then karma indriyani, jnana indriyani. All the subtle aspects constitute the sukshma shariram, you know very well. And here, the entire sukshma shariram alone is divided into what now as three layers of personality. Hope you remember that. Now, of that, we have in the entire sukshma sharira aspects, we have seen the what now prana aspect of the sukshma shariram as the pranamaya atma first. Then now we have understood it is as what now pranamaya kosha. Now we are moving on to manomaya, the mind part of the what now mind. We are going to see mind alone here. In the prana shakti, we include all the sense organs, all the sense organs. Then, now manomayaha. See, manomayaha, manaha is the said to be mind alone. Just take the mind alone. This mind is taken as the atma. Manaha is taken as the self. What is atma? Mind is the atma. There are Buddhists who say mind is the atma. Thoughts, what is mind? Thoughts which come and go, constitute the mind, and these thoughts, mind is the atma. And samshayatmakam manaha, the doubt, all your emotions, fear. You can say what are all different types of thoughts you have to remember here. Ignorance, doubt, fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, dilemma, this varieties of thoughts, jealousy, hatred, anger, envy, restlessness, all these types of this state of mind, these thoughts form the mind. And here the identity is with this mind. I am sad, I am upset, I am angry, I am confused, I am scared, I am frightened. When you say, then what now? Then mind is the self. What is Atma? Atma is then taken for this mind. Mind is taken for the Atma. It's okay? Mind is the Atma for you though. You don't know Atma. That is why this mind is taken for what now? Atma. Therefore it's called a Manomaya Atma. You have identity not only I, the first person singular pronoun, is not identified only with the physical body, not only identified only with the pranas have identified with the mind also. Now those two have rejected now. You have negated them as anatma. But it is difficult to shift the eye sense from the mind. For manaha is what now? Now you take it, operate its presence in mind as the atma. Mind is the atma. And this mind also, can there be a mind, individual mind, independent of the total mind? We never think this way. Upanishad makes us see. There's a total cosmic mind, which is also otherwise called what? Samashti Manaha. Samashti Pranaha is also Hiranyagarbha. Samashti Manaha is also Hiranyagarbha. Samashti Buddhi is also what now? Hiranyagarbha. Okay? So Samashti Manaha, total mind, cosmic mind. Therefore, that is why Manomayaha means every individual mind doesn't exist, doesn't have existence independently without the total mind being there. Collective mind being there. You have to remember this example. One example for all the different layers of personality is a common, simplest example. There is no such thing called wave, okay, without the ocean. Can there be? No, I went to the beach, I saw only one wave. You know, I don't know where all the waves are gone. You cannot say that. You can say, I went to that house, only one person was in the house, I don't know where they all gone. You can say that. But can you say, I went to the beach, I saw the sea there, my God, all the waves have gone, only one wave was there. Can you say that? Impossible. Then we can't even say, I saw the ocean, I saw the sea. You cannot say. Why? Because ocean means what? The totality, which is totality of waves, wherein each and every wave is part of the whole. For one wave to be there, all the waves must be there. Only the one wave can be there. Is it clear? Similarly here also, when you say individual body, there must be total gross matter. When you say individual prana, there must be total prana. When you say individual mind, so also there must be total mind, cosmic mind, which otherwise called Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? There's an individual mind is part of the total mind. Therefore, to say that, we say product of the total mind. Individual mind is also what now? Mano mayaha. The affix mayaha indicates individual mind being the part and product of the total mind. Okay, part of the total mind. You should understand that. Then we understand this mind and the total mind are what now? Essentially one and the same. All the minds and this mind all are essentially one. How do you say? Every mind and intellect, all total intellect and the individual intellect, total mind and the individual mind, all are what now? Products of the sattvic aspect of the five elements. Whether it is an intelligent person's mind or dull-witted mind, every mind is product of sattvic aspect of the elements. Even the most tamasic person's mind also is what now? Product of the sattvic aspect of subtle elements, original pure elements. No, my mind is made of something different, you know. That's not true. All the minds are what now? Sattvic aspect of elements only. there, the mind also is elemental, no doubt. Mind is elemental only, but subtle. Mind is subtler manifestation of what? No, the matter. What is his mind? Mind is nothing but modified form of sattvic aspect of elements. You cannot perceive it. It is imperceptible. It is never available for perception. That is why it's subtler than what? No, even the pranas, we have to say. So interior, we have to perceive as the interior too. It is behind the sense powers, behind the pranas. Now we'll come to that. One more thing, we'll see that. So this manaha, we know, essentially samashti manaha and vyashti manaha are one and the same. Okay, one and the same. Now what once you say it is samashti manaha, one and the same, essentially one and the same, it becomes what now? Mind also is a product. Maya is a product. I don't want to repeat it now. The same aspect you have to apply to this manaha also. What you should say? Manaha is karyam. Therefore, atma is not the mind. If atma is not the mind, what is mind? Mind is anatma. If it is anatma, what is it? It is only an effect. If it is an effect, what? Now we have to remember all those things. Anatma, anatma, manasahapi, anatmatvam, it has anatmatvam, it has karyatvam, it has namarupatvam, then mithyatvam, they what now? Therefore, we had to say pravilapanam. Pravilapanam means what now? Saying it is as good as non-existent. Where is it? Pravilapanam means what? Pravilapanam means resolving it in the cause. Okay, there is no such thing called individual mind. Really. Okay, it is as though. It is. I am not saying it is not there at all. Because we are worried, no? So how can you say mind is not there at all? We are all the time worried. We cannot say mind is not there at all, but mind is what? As no, there is no such thing as individual mind, it is only total mind. Is it clear? Therefore, manomayaha also is what? Manaha, manomayaha, atma. You can't say manomaya atma, manomayaha is anatma. Is it clear now? Koshaha. It is now koshaha. That we were seeing last class actually. So let us do the mantras now. These are all old class lessons. Now we go to the new lesson.
Anyantara, okay. Tasmadva etasmat pranamayat. Tasmat pranamayat. Anyantara atma manomayaha. Anyantara atma manomayaha. Tenaisha purnaha. Tenaisha purnaha. Savayesha purusha vidha eva. Purusha vidha eva. Tasya purusha vidhatam. Tasya purusha vidhatam. Anvayam purusha vidhaha.
Anvayam purusha vidhaha.
So this manomaya atma, all what are interior to the pranamaya atma, pranamaya kosha, interior to the pranamaya kosha, pranamaya atma, which has been negated as the pranamaya kosha anatma now, is what now? Manomaya atma. Anyaha antaraha manomayaha atma. Now, tena yeshaha purnaha. Now this pranamaya atma is pervaded or filled with what now? Manomaya Atma. What does it mean? Pranamaya, now Pranamaya becomes the, is it, container. Manomaya becomes the contained. The Shariram and Shariri, indweller. Now what indwells the Pranamaya? Pranamaya, Pranamaya means the pranas. What indwells the Pranamaya is the Manomaya. First we said Annamaya is the external layer of personality, which is perceptible, tangible, gross. Then the Pranamaya indwells the Annamaya. Now we say Manomaya indwells the Pranamaya. Subtle. So Anyontara. Anyaha Antaraha Atma Manomaya. The whole body is what now, actually all the pranas are now what now, pervaded by the mind. Mind is associated with all the senses, all the powers of organs of actions. Therefore, mind is associated with what now, all the functions, all the organs of the body, the whole physical body. Isn't it? It's filling. Is it clear now? Which you can't say, oh no, my mind only to the left or right side doesn't go, means what? Then you'll be like this, okay? Then let's call coma. You can't say that. The whole mind is, even then, mind is okay. Mind is associated. That's why mind knows. In coma also, mind is there. It's like body. Isn't it? Some problem with the things, body only. So the mind is associated with what? The whole prana, everything through the prana. Is the mind, prana, the sense, through the senses, through the sukshma, what now? It pervades the entire body. It fills. Is it clear or not? That's why. So, mana, tena yeshaha purnaha. Tena means, in the manadinal, okay, by this mind, manomaya atma, manomayaha, instead of using the word manomayaha, anna pranamayaha is purnaha. Pranamayaha is filled with Manomayaha, means what now? To understand, Manomayaha also indwells the Pranamayaha. Is it clear? Just understanding, just analyzing the whole thing. Now, Savayesha Purusha Vidha Eva.
Savayesha Purusha Vidha Eva.
Saha va yeshaha means, one meaning is, this prana manomayaha also takes the akaraha of form of the shape of the human body only. Why? Because the pranamaya has taken the form of the pranamayaha, being subtle, having no form of its own, assumes the indwelling human body. Isn't it? Human form. Similarly here also, this Manomayaha also what now assumes the same human form only, takes the akara, purusha vidha, vidaha means form, purusha means human being, okay, the human akaraha, human form, and it assumes. So the same thing will be repeated now, so I don't need to repeat the meaning of all these verses, words here. Purusha vidaha eva, manomaya atma. Suppose the manaha enters into the buffalo's body or cockroach's body or elephant's body, then it will what now? It will assume the form of that body. Pranaha and manaha will take the akara of whichever body it enters into. So we will not enter into such bodies, so it does not worry about it. Because we are already studying Shastram, so Bhagavan will be very kind to push us only into the human body or moksha right now. No more body. See, the mind takes the, like that I told you earlier itself, isn't it? Whichever container the water is poured into, what now? The water assumes the form of that container. Isn't it? The contained takes the form of the container. You have to remember this. Similarly, manaha also what? Now, because people were studying the Upanishad, that definitely only human beings, no other being. So here we have to understand what? Moth, doesn't listen here. So, and therefore, we take what now? It assumes the human form. Mind also has what now? Human akara, purusha vidaha eva. So, purusha vidhatam, anvayam purusha vidaha, all these sentences mean the same. Anu means what? In keeping with. In keeping with the form, the shape of the pranamayaha, mind also assumes what now? The form of the human being only. Inside. Is it clear now? Human form. Okay. Now, because it is said to be assuming the human form, as now the mind also, what now? As it were, as the mind has now five parts. Isn't it? The human form is there now. There may be head, there may be hands, and there must be, you know, right side, left side, central portion, and the puccham, the pratishtha, the support also must be there. So what are the five features here? Adi manomaya atma, isn't it? We saw the head and hands were the annamaya atma's features. Like how now here, manomaya atma is said to have what now? Here Upanishad presents the Veda. Simply, just for the understanding's sake, he's going to tell us something differently. Tasya yajure vashiraha. Yajure vashiraha. Rigdakshina pakshaha.
Rigdakshina pakshaha.
Samotara pakshaha.
Samotara pakshaha.
Adesha atma.
Adesha atma.
Atharvangirasah puccham pratishtha. He says, Yajuhu eva shiraha. Okay, the head part of the manomayatma is what now? Yajurvedaha. Yajurveda is said to be the forming the head of the manomayaha. Then, why Yajurveda is said to be the head of the manomayatma? Because Yajurveda alone plays a very important role in performing all the rituals. All the rituals to be performed, most discussed in the Yajurveda only. Therefore, the know of everything. Then, Rigdakshina, Yajuhu, then it is in a prose form also. Then, Rig Dakshina Pakshaha. Rig Veda consisting of mantra set to what now? Poetic metrical order is said to be forming the right side of the this Manomaya Atma. Yajuhu Rig Veda. Then Samotara Pakshaha. Then left side. Sama is the left side. Now Sama Veda consisting of mantra set to music. Now the musical tones set forming the left side of the Manomaya Atma. So Yajuhu Shiraha. Yajurveda forms the head part of the Manomaya Atma. Rigveda forms the right side of the right wing of the Manomaya Atma. Then Samaveda forms the left wing, left side of the Manomaya Atma. Then Adesha Atma.
Adesha Atma.
I'm sure in this context the word Atma used means the central portion, isn't it? So Adesha means actually the Vidhi Nishedaha. Vidhi Nishedaha. Vidhi means those which are to be done and those which should not be done. Okay, what the right and wrong, the way of life, how we should live our life. What should be done, what should not be done, what should be prohibited. So prescribed and prescriptions and prohibitions ordained by the Veda, which should govern our lives. Okay, our lives are supposed to be governed by the Vedic injunctions. Why is it? You know that why. Therefore, he says what the Adeshaha means, those injunctions, do's and don'ts, okay, injunctions, do's and don'ts, pratishiddha, okay, vidhi, nisheda. Nisheda means prohibited, prohibitions. Vidhi means prescribed, okay, ordained. Therefore, this way of life, how one should live one's life, as enjoined by the Veda, forms the central portion of this Manomaya Atma. You may get confused, why Veda is brought in here? Nothing to worry, I'll explain, don't worry, just you'll understand now. So, Adesha Atma.
Adesha Atma.
Atharvangirasav Puccham Pratishtha. Atharvangirasav Puccham Pratishtha. Now, what is that? This Manomaya Atmas, the Puccham, the lower part, the support of the Manomaya Atma, isn't it? What is that here? Is Atharva Vedaha. Atharva Vedaha, always associated with the Rishi Angiras, is said to be forming the lower part, Porsh part, which is the support of this Manomaya Atma. Why? Because, why Atharva Veda is said to be the Pratishtha, said, presented as the support of this Manomaya Atma? Because, how it is a support? Atharva Vedaha deals with mainly, you know, things, the associated rituals, mainly performed for our physical well-being, emotional, physical well-being, and also what? The prosperity. Now, Paushtika Karmani means the rituals performed for our well-being. And rituals performed for our prosperity. And suppose, imagine if a person is not prosperous enough or healthy enough, what can he achieve in this life? So it's very important for one to be prosperous and physically and healthy to achieve what one has to achieve. Therefore, that is the support, isn't it? If physically you are sick, where is the question of doing anything else? And you are not rich enough, prosperous enough, what can you achieve? Therefore, here, the prosper, which are very much needed to live the life, Arthakamas, and also to accomplish the Arthakamas, to have this good physical health, etc., all of them, so the rituals mainly performed for these things. They are discussed in the Atharva Veda, and therefore Atharva Veda, isn't it, is important for living this life. Therefore, Atharva Veda is said to be the support of the Manomaya Atma. Is it clear? Now, the question comes, what is the connection? What you have to know here is, you have to know only one thing here. Don't get confused about all these things. An individual mind doesn't have independent existence. You have to know this. Individual mind does not have independent existence. Only my anger alone is sitting there. No mind is here. Okay? Only my anger alone is here. My worry alone is here. Is such a thing? No. Okay, my worry is means what now? The person, the whole jagat is outside. Therefore, we have to understand, individual mind can never exist independently. Every mind is a part of the total mind. Therefore, it's considered to be the product of the total mind. Therefore, essentially, total mind, cosmic mind, Hiranyagarbha and the individual mind are one and the same. Is it clear? And this is what is the important lesson we have to learn here. Therefore, it being a product, Atma is not the mind, and because it is not the Atma, it is Anatma, therefore it is Anatma. Being Anatma, it is only a product. Being the product, it is only Namarupa. Being the Namarupa, it is Mithya. Being the Mithya, it is what now? As good as non-existent. Okay, this is what you have to understand here. But next question comes, why does Upanishad you present these Vedas as the five, isn't it, five features of the Manomaya Atma? That is the question we have to ask. The lesson is over, okay? Because Vedas or what now? Knowledge. In our understanding, Vedas are, in this context, Upanishad wants to teach us something differently also. In our understanding, Vedaha means body of knowledge, we know that. But it's all in the form of words. Vedaha is nothing but what? Any knowledge is what now? Vedaha is nothing but words. And where are the words? At least if you say nowadays we have books actually, isn't it? Sounds are, Vedas are nothing but words. And the words and sentences are nothing but, they're all outside only. The Veda which is outside, how can it be said to be forming the as features of the mind which is subtle and interior? Is the question will rise, isn't it? And here Upanishad wants to teach us, come on, every word expressed is what? Leave alone the Veda. Now come to this one. Now. Any word expressed is what now? Manifest, expressed thought. A word uttered, a word spoken, a word written is expressed thought. And every thought is what now? Manifest knowledge. Every thought is a manifest knowledge. And every word is expressed thought. Therefore, expressed word being an expressed thought, word being a manifest knowledge, word also becomes what now? Expressed knowledge. Is it clear now? Expressed knowledge. Okay, fine. Therefore, if Veda is expressed knowledge in the form of words, and Veda must have existed before becoming the word, before the words become expressed, they must have already, any word before getting expressed must be existing in the form of a thought. Is it clear now? If the thought is not there, it cannot be expressed as the word. Every word expressed is what now? Must have existed in the form of a thought first. Therefore, you have to say what now? Word is nothing but thought. Word is thought. Sentences are thought. Words and sentences are expressed knowledge. For the knowledge to become expressed through the communicated through the words, it must have already manifested in the form of thoughts. Knowledge has to first become manifest as the thoughts. Thereafter, it has to get expressed in through the words. Is it clear now? Therefore, Veda, what is Veda? Constituent of words. What are the words? Expressed thoughts. What are the thoughts? Manifest knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, it's appropriate for the Veda to say that the Upanishad to say what now? Just to present the all the Vedas as the different features of the Manomaya Atma. Is it clear? Okay. Now, not only Veda, you have to understand one thing here. Any knowledge is perennially eternal. Any knowledge is, knowledge of anything is perennially eternal. Atma is the only reality which is absolutely eternal. Knowledge is perennially eternal. Therefore, we say Vedas are also perennially eternal. Vedas are not the product of the human intellect. Vedas are not the products of human intellect. They got revealed. Therefore, if they got revealed means, anyway, any knowledge, this is called apaurusheya. Apaurusheyam means what now? Apaurusheya means Vedaha, the body of knowledge, is not a discovery, it's not that human intellect, isn't it? Not the product of human intellect, it's not a, okay, no, apaurusheya. Now, law of gravitation. Somebody discovered, Newton discovered. When you say, it is what now? Even though it is a discovery, it's a human intellect's product, still we say any knowledge, whether it is a Paurusheya Jnanam or Apaurusheyam. Okay, any knowledge is eternal. Eternal, when you say, what does it mean? It is not created. Why anything created is very important lesson I'm teaching you today. Anything created has a beginning. Isn't it? Whereas creation, it should have a beginning. But when you say knowledge is eternal, anything which has a beginning cannot be said to be eternal. So knowledge of anything in the world is what now? Not created. No knowledge is created. Knowledge is already there. No knowledge is created. Okay? But what about this knowledge is not created? That means what? The knowledge only becomes manifest. It is not created. Knowledge only is manifest. Knowledge manifests. For which vrittihi, antahkarna vrittihi becomes the manifesting medium. Manifesting medium. So no knowledge is created. It is already there. When the vrittis are there, the knowledge becomes manifest. When the vrittis are resolved, knowledge becomes what now? Again, knowledge becomes unmanifest. This becoming manifest. If the vrittis are, it's like if the mirror is brought in front of me, my reflection of my face will be there. The mirror is taken away, what happens to the reflection? It is not destroyed, it becomes unmanifest. It becomes what now? Unreflected. Isn't it? That's all. Similarly, knowledge also either manifest knowledge or it is unmanifest knowledge. Knowledge is not created, knowledge is not destructible also. Therefore, every time the universe becomes manifest, what now? Knowledge only becomes manifest. Again, knowledge becomes unmanifest. Whatever is unmanifest, again it's going to become manifest. Like that, the knowledge which becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest, again becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. When the manifesting media, the minds are available, knowledge becomes manifest. Again, when knowledge manifesting media is resolved, what now? Knowledge becomes unmanifest. So, becoming unmanifest is not the destruction, not being destroyed. Becoming manifest becoming unmanifest is not the destruction of the knowledge. And becoming manifest also is not the creation of the knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, because it becomes manifest and unmanifest again and again continuously, it is said to be what now? It is eternal. Knowledge has no beginning and no end. It is eternal, but perennially eternal, not absolutely eternal. Why perennially eternal? Because there's a time it becomes unmanifest. There's a time it becomes manifest. Because it continues to become manifest and unmanifest, continuously it is happening. Therefore, it is called what now? It is said to be perennially eternal. Puriyudha? This is the secret. That is why in India we are very sure nobody can come and loot your mind. No? Somebody comes and kills the physical body also, what now? The mind will come back assuming a new body and will get expressed. Is it clear now? That is why knowledge is never destructible. People copy theories and things, and then other people's the thesis and all they steal on computer net. I've heard a lot of things happening in universities. That is a different thing. I'm talking about the knowledge in the mind. Do you get it? How do you see this? No, that is why knowledge is what now? Any paper in India, any paper consisting of rubbish matter also is information, means expressed thought, which is a expressed knowledge. Expression of the manifest knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, Bhagavan, Shakti Saraswati. We can't, that is why we won't walk on the notebooks. We won't put the books down. Reverence. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not? Such a very subtle thing. Okay. Therefore, now we have to move on now. This is an important thing. It will become much clearer later on. See, the thoughts, what happens, the sounds, again, this has I want to say here. The sounds are also, even the sounds are already there. Sounds are already there in this space. What are the words, expressed words, uttered words? Sounds, isn't it? Already there in the space. No sound is created. But they need the manifesting medium. The organ of speech. They're not created. So what happens? The first, they're all in the form of waves. And the waves are received at one end. Every television box or every radio receives the waves. And the waves become, again what now? Converted into sounds. Sounds are there. Sounds are received, converted into waves. And the waves are sent. And the waves again become converted into sounds. It's a continuous. Similarly, here also thoughts are what now? Thoughts. Knowledge is in the form of thoughts. And when the teacher teaches, what happens? Knowledge is in the form of a thought. In the mind, teacher's mind. And when the teacher speaks, the knowledge in the form of a thought gets expressed through the word, gets communicated, and the sound which carry the word, the words, Shabdaha Jnana Vahini. Okay? The word is the carrier of knowledge. And the word, what does it do? It goes, it enters into the ears, and it goes to the mind. And the listener, the receiver also, what does he do? the listener listens to the words, and those words which reach the mind of the listener, understanding takes place, knowledge takes place. Again, the knowledge becomes what? Knowledge. Knowledge travels through the sounds, expressed through the words, reach the other person's mind, through other person's ears, then again becomes knowledge in the mind of the other listener. Vaktuhu vritti, jnana rupa vritti, okay, vritti rupam jnanam, ni vaktuhu manasi, shabda rupena, shabda dvara, shrotuhu shrotra dvara, shrotuhu manaha pravishya, punaha jnana rupa vritti rupa jnanam bhavati. Vritti rupam jnanam bhavati. Is it clear now? What is knowledge now? Knowledge is what now? Always thought is the man. Knowledge is in the form of a thought, and every thought is what now? Manifest knowledge. Puriyudha? Is it clear? And the thought always becomes expressed only through the words, and the words go through, those days only speaking, okay, no printed method. The words enter into the sound form, enter into the ears, and through the ears, where do the words go? The mind is in the class, it will go to the mind. The mind is not in the class, then it will go hit like the blunt arrow getting hit at the mouth, the strong, no, the mountain, it will fall here. It will go back and then go out. The mind is here, then it will go inside. Okay? Therefore, the mind can receive it, the mind goes elsewhere. Suppose the mind doesn't want to receive it. What should the mind do? Switch it off. Go somewhere. Very, not in the class, okay? And somebody comes and tells something rubbish, nonsense, useless, then you switch off. Then you can watch the person's talking. But other person will be listening to you. But don't do that. It's not respectful anyway. We have to be listening anyway. Because Paramatma, isn't it? Therefore, so the words become knowledge. Knowledge again becomes knowledge. Expressed thought becomes what now? Again, unexpressed thought. That thought spoken, written becomes expressed again. Is it clear? This is what now? Vrittihi. Every vrittihi is a manifesting media for the knowledge. Every vrittihi is manifest knowledge. Prida, therefore, he just wants to say, what is this manaha? Not only your mind, okay? Not only your thoughts. All the thoughts, all the manaha, even undeveloped mind, underdeveloped mind, retarded mind, okay? And suppose what about the mind in dog and then elephants? There is a mind, but very, very not sophisticated, isn't it? All the minds are what now? Manifest knowledge only. All the minds are thoughts, they are manifest knowledge. The thoughts, in fact, not just the thought alone, isn't it? Thought is manifest knowledge. And here we say, these vrittis, the manifesting media, are nothing but products of sattvic aspect of matter. Please understand, mind also is matter. Atma, it is a material product, only is the mind. Atma is the sarva karanam, adi karanam. Isn't it? Atma being the karanam, mind being the product, atma is not the mind. Because mind is very subtle, no? Be difficult for us to understand it. That is why we mistake it for the self. Your Atma is not the Manaha. Now you have to apply the same rules. What is mind now? Mind also is Manomaya is not the Atma, it is Koshaha, Anatma. First you thought mind is Atma. Now you say mind is Anatma, the Koshaha. Kimartam Anatmatvat, Karyatvat, Anatmatvat, Karyatvat, Namarupatvat, Mithyatvat, Pravilapana Yogyam. It is resolvable. As is it clear now? Now, you see that.
Tadapyesha shloko bhavati.
Tadapyesha shloko bhavati.
Now, again the Rig, you remember this? The Chaitanya Upanishad, you have to remember, belongs to Krishna Yajurveda. And this Upanishad now quotes a mantra from Rigveda. Isn't it? It is for wherein the Manomaya Atma, it is there's a glorification of Samashti Manaha Hiranyagarbha.
Yato vacho nivartante.
Yato vacho nivartante.
The fourth anuvakaha, the fourth paragraph begins with the glorification of the Samashti Manaha Hiranyagarbha. Total mind Hiranyagarbha, the total cosmic mind Hiranyagarbha is glorified. Glorification of the cosmic mind is the with which the next anuvaka begins. Is it clear? And which is a mantra quoted from the Rigveda. I hope you remember this.
Yato vacho nivartante.
Yato vacho nivartante.
Aprapya manasa saha.
Aprapya manasa
saha. Aprapya. Aprapya manasa saha. Manasa saha. Anandam Brahmano Vidvan.
Anandam Brahmano Vidvan.
Nabibheti Kadachaneti.
Nabibheti Kadachaneti.
Okay. So with that, the glorification of the Samashti Manaha, cosmic mind, ends with the Iti. So, kadachana, that is the end of the Rig Mantra, and iti indicates the conclusion, ending of the Rig Mantra. Okay? So, yataha vachaha nivartante aprapya manasasaha. One sentence. Who is Hiranyagarbha? Who is this total cosmic mind? You know, he says here. Who is Samashti Manaha? Yataha vachaha nivartante aprapya manasasaha. You try to imagine the total mind can never be conceived by the individual mind. Can you conceive? Never. Even the mind reading, people who read the minds also, I'm saying. It's all mind reading or humbug, really speaking. Not you can't read it too much. Therefore, if you want the words which are expression of the knowledge. No, manifest knowledge, which come from one mind, isn't it? Those words, can they describe the total mind? They cannot talk about it. I can talk only this much now. Therefore, aprapya manasa saha. Yataha vachaha nivartante. The words try to explain. The words try to explain, describe the total cosmic mind. You're going to see again the next also. Vijnana vayatma also you're going to see. Okay. The words try to explain, describe what now? The total mind. When they try, they become incapable of explaining, describing the cosmic mind. Not leave alone Atma. Even the total mind cannot be described. See, the individual mind cannot describe, explain, any conceive anything in total, totality. Know that? Nothing in totality. Whether the gross level, prana level, or thought level, in total, isn't it? Nothing in totality can be conceived, described, explained by the individual mind. That is why we have Upasana Murtis, know that? In meditation and all. Why do we have the Upasana Murtis? You can never, this mind is part of the total mind, isn't it? Part of the total cosmos. How can it visualize? How can it conceive? This is the total. A fraction can never visualize the total being the part of the total. A fraction being the part of the total can never visualize what now? See the total. Is it clear? Can never. This is the thing. Therefore, aprapya, not, aprapya means not able to arrive at, not able to reach, not able to understand, not able to conceive. Aprapya means not being able to conceive, not being able to describe and explain. The words, what now? Come back. Vachaha nivartante. The words return. The words fail whenever they try to describe the total mind. Aprapya manasa saha. They come back with the thoughts. Okay, the words go and touch near the thoughts, touch the thoughts, and they come back with the what now? They come back without being able to explain, describe what this total mind is. What does it mean? The total mind is not conceivable for the individual mind. That's the meaning. Yataha, vachaha, the same thing I'm going to see for the Atma also later on. Then I'll explain, become much clearer.
Yato vacho nivartante, apvacho nivartante, aprapya manasa saha.
Along with the mind. Suppose, imagine, the mind has to, his individual mind has to conceive the total mind. Okay? Then the mind has to do what now? The mind has to really express the words, isn't it? Express the words. And the words, the mind is making effort to understand the total mind. And therefore it is also what now? Suppose the words come back, the words alone, in the form of words alone, shabda only, try to understand. What are the words come back? Not only the words are incapable of explaining, describing the mind also what are incapable of conceiving the total mind. The words always fail in describing the total mind. The individual mind also fails in conceiving the total mind. Therefore, manasa saha, along with the mind, the words return, failing, being incapable of conceiving, describing, explaining, understanding the total mind. Is it clear? Okay.
Anandam Brahmano Vidvan.
Anandam Brahmano Vidvan.
Nabibheti kadachaneti.
Nabibheti kadachaneti.
Now there ends the description. Now, thereafter Upanishad, what now, like other, like how in other layers of personality when it was discussed, there's a visualization, there's a meditation prescribed. Here also, he says, Brahmanaha with Anandam Vidwan. Vidwan means meditator here. See, somewhere be very careful. Sometimes the word Vidwan means Jnani. And here Vidwan means the meditator. Who is the meditator here? The one who meditates upon the total mind. How can he meditate upon the total mind, Hiranyagarbha? Having his own mind as the Alambanam. Okay? Individual mind is taken as the Alambanam for the total mind. Okay? And thereafter, one who dwells upon Hiranyagarbha. Brahmanaha Anandam Vidwan. Okay, the meditator, one who meditates, lot of things have to be implied here, supplied here. It is not very expressed. It's not everything is not said here explicitly. Vidwan, one word means meditator. The meditator, of whom? Meditator of the Hiranyagarbha. As what now? As the total mind, as the cosmic mind. On which one's own mind. One who visualizes the cosmic total mind upon one's own mind. Such a person, what now? What does he meditate? Anandam. Anandaha means, the highest pleasure, the greatest of the pleasures within the realm of material world is what now? Belongs to Hiranyagarbha only. What? Understand, see the pleasure. What is the greatest of the pleasures? Biggest of the pleasures? Leave the moksha. Okay? Within this world, within this material universe, if at all you want to accomplish some pleasure, you have different, we are enjoying different types of pleasures. All those pleasures are, what now? My pleasure is, the pleasure I enjoy is greater than yours. We've always said this. And he enjoys greater pleasure. One enjoys much greater pleasure. Isn't it? Like the whole world, human beings are enjoying different types of pleasures here. And not only the pleasures that are enjoyed in this world, there's a pleasure enjoyable in higher worlds also in subtle form. Isn't it? Imagine if I fall asleep and I have a dream. In my dream, I travel. I get a special aircraft come to my flat. Okay? It comes. And then I wish, my God, nobody's, Dema is not seeing, Dr. Peter is not seeing, she, Rodney is not seeing to take a photograph of this. And such a beautiful aircraft has come. Special aircraft, specially designed. And it's all, I can dream, And I get into the aircraft. Nobody's all alone, like a rocket. I'm all alone. And then somehow it goes. And goes and it takes me to so many other places. It shows me so many things and I see so many other galaxies and all those things, all in dream, okay? What all my imagination possible, everything I see. And then because I've seen also movies before when I was very young, I saw Indra and Chandra, etc., with all having freedoms. All my own, I see them also. And I say hello, and I had very good dinner with Indra and all that. And everything finished, and I come back also. What now? Come back and I sit. Oh my God, I don't want to really leave this. This, I think I should cap it. I should have this aircraft, this very special aircraft, which I can keep it inside my room, inside my house, my flat, because I can get in and I can go anywhere again, I can meet again and then I come back. I don't want to really lose it, okay? I come back, after coming back, how nice to have this aerial car here in my room. I'm thinking, but now somebody knocks at the door and wakes me up. I wake up. What happened now? Was my enjoyment real or not? It is not unreal. First you have to say, because I enjoyed it. It is not unreal, but it is not real also. Why? I cannot show the aerial car to you now. Therefore, it is not real, but it is not unreal also. Therefore, what is it? It is subjectively real, isn't it? Like that, any enjoyment of any heavenly pleasure also is subtly, you need only your mind for the enjoyment, okay? Heavenly pleasures also are not unreal, please understand. Heavenly pleasures are not unreal. You cannot prove they are unreal. Heavenly, because you cannot prove a dream unreal, okay? You cannot prove it is unreal. But nor can I prove it is real. That is the problem. No, definitely I saw in my dream. How can I say? Nor can I prove it to you it is real. That is why it is mithya, isn't it? So my dream is subjectively real. So also all the pleasures, enjoyable pleasures, heavenly pleasures. I heard Gandharva singing. Very beautiful musical night I had in heaven, and I had only Rambas and Urvashis were dancing very well, nice, you know, jewelry, nice cosmetics, everything you can talk about, very subjectively real. Okay, therefore those also what now, at least dream you can talk about, but those pleasures you cannot even talk about. Those pleasures are all there. Heavenly pleasures are nice. You cannot prove it as unreal, nor can one prove it as real also. That is why matter for belief. Okay, heaven, it any ideas what no matter for belief. Non-verifiable belief. These things, these what all these pleasures, etc., heavenly pleasures, enjoyable in with this body or without this physical body also, subtly also, what now? All the pleasures fall within the realm of material universe only. Is it clear or not? The worldly pleasures enjoyable in this physical, through the physical, in this physical body, living in the physical body. And without the physical body, just in only using the mind alone, enjoyable pleasures also. All the pleasures are within the realm of the material universe only. There is no such thing called spiritual pleasure. Okay? Spiritual means fullness, happiness, not pleasure. Pleasure is a fraction of fullness. All the pleasures are what now? Or any pleasure, any amount of pleasure is within the realm of the material world. Matter only, within the matter. Is it clear? Therefore he says, if at all there is any such thing, pleasure called greatest, what is the greatest of the pleasures, highest of the pleasures within the realm of the material world? You say, being the Hiranyagarbha. Being part of the total mind. If the individual mind can remain one with the total mind, when can the individual mind remain one with the total mind? Whenever the identity with the physical body is not there, whenever the mind and sense organs are non-functional, individual mind is one with the total mind. Purida, is clear? When is the individual mind remaining one with the total mind? Okay. When the sthula prapancha is not manifest, when the mind and sense organs are resolved. Every time the mind is resolved, it is one with the total mind. That is why in sleep, what do you have? Bliss. Isn't it? Now, if that bliss continues for many, 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 many years, that is called what now? Highest of the pleasures, enjoyable within the material world. Is it clear now? Therefore, if a person visualizes What is visualizing or meditates upon? What is meditating upon? Come on. The total mind and the individual mind are essentially one. If you think about it, that meditation, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, we have already seen earlier in the first, already we have seen what is the benefit of meditating upon Hiranyagarbha. Already seen that in the Sikshavali. Is one can, after the death, one can travel, go to the Brahmaloka, and what now? One can remain one with Hiranyagarbha, means mind can remain one with total mind, then what you enjoy is the highest of the pleasures. And when the punyam gets exhausted, you come back and assuming a different body, but you cannot come back and boast about that how nice it was to be one with Hiranyagarbha. Okay, that's the thing. Therefore, he says, Anandam Brahmano Vidvan. Anandam Brahmano Vidvan. The meditator of the one who meditates upon the total mind, okay, on his own mind, such a person, what now, becomes one with Hiranyagarbha and attains what now? Enjoy the highest of the worldly pleasures. That person, the meditator, enjoys the highest of the worldly pleasures. Then, na bibheti kadachaneti. And as long as one continues to be just the mind alone without assuming the... When the mind remains for a long time in one with the cosmic mind, then what happens? What does it mean? The mind does not assume the gross body soon. You will live long without assuming the gross body. So, as long as you remain in subtle form as one with the Hiranyagarbha, the sukshma is still ignorant, but remains in the form of just the mind, the subtle form alone, without assuming the gross body, then you have no fear of death at all. Do you have fear of death in sleep? No. Only when you wake up in physical body, then you have fear of death. Once in fall asleep, thank God there is no fear of death in sleep. In dream you may have. You may dream. But in sleep you will not have fear of death. Similarly, this meditator, one who visualizes, one who pays attention to the nature of the mind and really meditates upon the mind being essentially one with the cosmic mind, that person, what now? As a result of that karma, manasam karma, he will remain one with Hiranyagarbha, means he can remain, avoid assuming the body for a long time. He can postpone his rebirth. He cannot avoid the rebirth totally, but he can postpone his rebirth. Postpone means what now? Not that he is not there, he is very much there. But his assumption of physical body does not take place soon. So very long. So as long as he remains in subtle form, there is no fear of death. Therefore what happens now? Yama cannot go near that mind, that person. Therefore, na bibheti kadachaneti. And he becomes free from fear of death temporarily. This being free from fear of death is called what now? Apekshika mokshaha. He has temporary freedom. Okay? This is the benefit of meditation upon the cosmic mind. Meditation upon the cosmic mind means seeing the individual mind being essentially what now? One with the cosmic mind. Now we have to go to Manoma in Vijnanamayatma. Next, we'll see. Because have good tea and come back. Have some small 15 minutes break. Then we'll see again.